Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today is the 75th part on messages on how to have God's life living in you. And this is program 177. So at the end of this, we do these programs in CD and tape. So at the end of the program, if you'd like to have a copy of it, please specify as to whether you want tape or CD. We have several letters and a testimony that some of the people in the church thought was really bad that my son brought in the services today, but I thought it was absolutely wonderful. And it goes to show how people in churches can be as unscriptural and unpleasant to be around as anywhere else in the entire world. But as I said in the message yesterday, there's a lot of phonies in churches, but the Lord didn't say, and hypocrites in churches, but the Lord didn't say to believe on the phonies and the hypocrites. He said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There it was with Christ one devil out of 12. And so you take the hundreds of thousands of people in my church, you know Satan is going to send devils in. Around 12 to 15 of them, I never even counted the number of them, that were put out of the church because of one thing or another. The evil way they were so evil that the Lord didn't even want them to be in the church any longer. Because sometimes there's still a lot of evil people in every true church of the Lord. And the churches that are not of the Lord, the place is just packed out with them. But in every church that is really of the Lord, you're going to have hypocrites, phonies. And anytime somebody comes out with the truth, the hypocrites and the phonies become enraged because the truth is something that doesn't exist in them. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They make a pretense of Christianity, and they say they are because they pretend, but they are not Christians. And I'm going to break down the testimony of my boy, what he's meaning, my son, Sion, because he's, to me, he's not a hypocrite. I mean, saying the things that he did in the church today. One thing that I want everybody to remember is that when my son was around 1 year old, I was placed in prison on false charges for 4.5 years. I got a 6-year sentence, and then I was out in 4 years. And the people that were around my boy were told, you know, how to be Christians around him and everything, and they were not. And so this killed his thoughts on that these are godly people. They were a bunch of bad people around him. And so he got honest, real honest. He's a really honest and candid type person. And I thank God because that's the way I am. And so some of the people said, well, we thought, because he was telling of all the phonies, and that they'd think that he was around you all his life, and that he shouldn't be that way. Well, Aaron's children were all around him all his life, and Eli's children were around him, and they were just really wicked, and the Lord killed them. But this one, my son, testified that he hated the way that the people were in the church, the ones that he came in contact with. But he said that when he went to Los Angeles and met a lot of the baby Christians there that were on fire for the Lord, because a lot of people start up on fire for the Lord, and then they just fizzle out. They're like, they get really happy when they're saved and full of zeal to serve him. And that's the way a lot of the people, most of the people are out in the Los Angeles church. And and so he saw them praying really loudly and unashamedly. some of these people from out in the Fort Smith area went down there and was rebuking them for praising the Lord. Brian Broderick, one of them, and several others. And then also Debbie Andersack thought this was terrible, the testimony that he gave, and also Sally Demelin. And then Michelle, she thought it was awful too what he said. But I thought, well, oh, you three people don't have any discernment. This is one of the best testimonies I've ever heard. And so we're going to read that to you later. Michelle Jones thought it was bad too. And so, and I just said that you people, a lot of you that are around in the church, are hypocrites and you're phonies. And like, for instance, like Michelle Jones, she was married to a black man and had a black son, and she let him come in the house because he works as a secretary there and take his shoes off inside the house. But my son, Zion, the honest one, she made him stay out in the snow and take his shoes off. And so that doesn't show me that she's a Christian at all. This is the kind of stuff that you see on a daily basis in the office and in the church. There's just so much false accusations, and when people bring the truth out, they hate it. And some of the ones that are accusing my boy of bringing a bad testimony, I'll let you decide whether you think it's a bad testimony or not. They are, many of them, their children have all fallen away from the Lord. They're out in the world now and even bringing accusations against myself, and they didn't even know me. And they never chastise their children, which the Bible commands that you do. If you love your children, you chasten them. And I told them to stop communicating with them because they're really attacking the church, and they just think that they're going to come back. And I tell them, I'm not, I won't let devils come into this church. Once you've been excommunicated, you're out, and that's it. Because they're lying about this church. And when they say they're hypocrites here, they're telling the truth. I don't know a godly church in the world that doesn't have hypocrites in it. And that the Lord said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not hypocrites. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not phonies. The Lord doesn't tell you to believe in phonies, but if you want to get fed the truth, you come to this church. Like there was a couple that came into the church tonight over in Los Angeles. It was a black man married to a white woman, and there was no place for them because we're packed out over there. And all of a sudden they said, well, I want to go and see Grandma over in Michigan or someplace. And I said, well, go ahead, because I don't want anybody in the church that doesn't want to serve the Lord, especially from the get-go. When I first was saved, I wanted to go tell everybody in the world. I wanted to find out what God wanted me to do. The last thought that was in my mind was to go see Grandma, Grandpa, Mother, Dad, anybody. My dad was already gone to be with the Lord, and so were both of my grandfathers and grandmothers. But I had no desire to go see my brother or anything like that, or any member of my family. I just wanted to find out what God wanted me to do. And this is the true spirit of any person that really gets saved. But there's a lot of rotten, catty, filthy, satanic people in the church that are jealous. If their sons have fallen away, they hate it if you have a godly son. It's just not the spirit of God whatsoever. And if their sons are, something's wrong with them, like they're retarded or something, they get it in for an intelligent boy and or son. That's just the way they are, and that's satanic. That is not of the Lord. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because it truly is the truth. When you're teaching people worldly things, I just brought a message about when a person gets saved, the first thing they want to do is drink in about the Lord. If that spirit is not in you, you're not saved. you're not of the Lord. And you want to go tell others. It's just your desire is to tell others. And you have love for the people that really love the Lord, not those that are just phonies or retarded. They're retarded. I'm not saying that retardation is a sin, but it certainly isn't a blessing either. Okay, it's not any blessing from the Lord to have a retarded daughter or son. The mother and father got hold of the Lord and they started working for the Lord, the son would be healed. And if the son showed any interest in the Lord would heal him. Because the person that keeps their mind stayed upon the Lord will have perfect peace, and they'll have a sound, not retarded mind, a sound mind. And there's a very, very large need for people in churches to get right with the Lord. I just wanted to find out what God wanted, and nobody was around to say the Bible has the truth. So I went from one store to another, a bookstore, and started searching through all the books, and I started reading some of them, and I could tell that they were false, because God threatened me when he visited me in an office, at a Beverly Hills office, when I was doing a promotion for a singer named Bobby Jameson. And he said, get up and tell the people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And so when he said that, and then I went through a lot of changes with him in there. You can read it in my testimony, piece of literature which I've written. It's called Dry Bones. And then my wife has heard my testimony, so my deceased wife heard my testimony so many times that she said it's so good, you know, it's like a testimony of the Apostle Paul. The way he got saved is he was saved suddenly. He became anxious suddenly. But there are some people, they could sit around messages all their life and they would never, ever get saved. They're in the church. There is an Angela in the church who tried to break this church up on many occasions. She, while I was in prison, stated she wanted to take Jeannie Orlando in a vehicle and steal one of the church vehicles and go off together. And I mean, there's just so much of that stuff, and my boy saw a lot of this stuff, and it made him feel that everybody in churches were hypocrites, and he saw much more than that. And so and he's heard me talk about these things. And so he knows there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church. And then another man's wife was just stricken with clots, blood clots in her legs, when she was just after she had a child. And Al Canetter is the husband of that woman. And I started praying for her, and the Lord said, no, Al Canetter is not praying at all. He doesn't pray. So I called him and I said, Al, I was praying for your wife, going to pray for her. And the Lord told me, no, that you have to pray. And he says that you don't. So he's another phony, a hypocrite. There's no fire of the Lord in him whatsoever. And I says, is what the Lord told me the truth? And he said, yes, sir. I said, well, don't you want your wife to live? He said, yes, I do. And I said, well, you better do what the Lord says. He said he wants you to touch the throne. Other people were told that, Michelle's sister, Jennifer, I started praying for her because she had a rare disease. And the Bible and the Lord told me that she's going to die if she doesn't touch the throne. Because she was evidently, the Lord has let me know, she does a lot of bad things. And so her name is Jennifer Colbeck. And so she's, I told her, the Lord won't let me pray for you. You have to touch the throne tonight. If you do, you'll live. If you don't, you'll die tonight. So she reached the throne, and she's this happened, gosh, around 20 years ago or more. And she's alive today, and she's had several children since. How many children does she have, Michelle? You're her sister.
Five.
She has five children since. Five children. And so she lived. She recovered immediately when she touched the throne. And people hear these messages, and they hear all the messages about the Bible, and they could be in the strongest church. Like I said, Jesus had, the Bible tells you that Jesus had a devil, one out of 12. And so you take, if I've got millions in my church, and I do, and I know that the authorities listen to my, the secular authorities listen to my messages, because when I was in court and other times I've seen them, they pull out my gospel literature right out of their suit pockets and they were reading it. And also government agents told me the minute you put out a new piece of literature, everybody in the government offices immediately read it intently. They listen to your radio broadcast. And so they're out there, the people out there believe my messages. And the people in the church, they profess that they believe the Lord. But the Lord had one, so did Judas, say, oh, you know, my master, my Lord, and kissed him as a signal that betray him. And then you've got Eli's children he didn't carry, didn't chasten his kids, and Aaron's children that he didn't chasten them either. And what a bad testimony Aaron was to build a golden calf for the people of Israel to worship. Just because you're in the house of the Lord or with the chosen flock of people, every single one of those people had to die too. Does that mean that you want to die and go to hell yourself? I would. That's crazy to me. That's insanity. But anyway, we've got all these things to talk about on this program today. And I'm sure that if you're in a church today, that you see the very same thing that I'm talking about. I've heard T.D. Jakes talking about all the people in his congregation that are committing adultery one with the other, and yet he tells them that they're all saved and they're blessed. I don't believe that. I believe that the people in my church that are hypocrites are cursed, and it won't be long before they're gone. Because God's going to put people through a lot of trials, and they're not going to be able to make it because there's no fiber in them whatsoever. It's like some of the people are such liars, you can see them reading something, and I says, why are you reading that? Said, we're not reading. And everybody in the room can see them reading it. That was Michelle. And I was just looking at the bottom line because it was chopped off. Yes, she read the bottom line. And I could go on for hours about the different hypocrisy and lies and prejudice and cliques and false reports and thievery and fornication and even, suspected lesbianism and homosexuality in churches. You say, well, why do you keep them? Because I don't take anybody in the church that the Lord doesn't allow me to take in. And I don't throw anybody out of the church unless the Lord says, that's it, they've gone too far, put them out. Well, anyway, this couple that moved in tonight in Los Angeles, they said they want to move in. They want to be married. They were shacking up together. And like I said, the woman is about, from what I hear, about 300, 350 pounds. The other one is, and she's 36 years old. And the man, the black man, is 19 years old. And so he says, well, I really want to go and see my grandmother. Well, most people say, that's fine. I say, well, go. And then they decided, well, no, we want to stay. when the Lord Jesus Christ said, called me, there's no way I would see anybody else or talk to anyone. I just wanted to get a hold of the Lord even more and more. But anyway, and the woman says, well, if he goes, I'm going with him. So that shows me that neither one of them were really called by the Lord. Because when Matthew, Mark, and John, and all the disciples, and Paul were called by the Lord, they came immediately. They were there mending nets with their dad, and they dropped him immediately and went with it. There's not that kind of zeal in the church, except my boy, I see he's honest. He honestly said these things at risk of making people believe that I didn't really be a good testimony to him. But again, I was in the prison for the gospel's sake for 4 years. Then when I came home, I was so overloaded with work that I couldn't be with them as much as I wanted. The people, the office personnel, let 2 years go by of different reports that had come in. And all the office personnel is guilty of that. And this Lydia, Michelle, Angel, Sharon, all of them, it was just piled here. And it took me up to now, up to this point here, which is about 8 years later, to catch up with this stuff. And because I just couldn't see how anyone could allow people in the church to, where they had needs lists and things like that, to let them, and people outside the church that needed things, to just let their requests and their pleadings lay around for two or more years. I despised them. I despise people that don't honor people's requests or hide them or let them sit there, lie there for all those years and not do anything about it. But like I say, it's par for the course in Christian works. But anyway, let's all... I'd like to have you read my son's testimony right here that he gave in the church tonight. This very night. But read the part here that Debbie Ondrasak and Sally Denlin thought it was just awful, horrible, and that I need to hear it. And I thought it was wonderful. It shows me that those two don't have any discernment. And then Michelle thought it was wicked also. Okay, go ahead.
From Debbie Ondrasak. Tonight, Sion's testimony was not in the spirit of the Lord.
Oh, it was the most in the spirit of the Lord testimony that there has been, with the exception of Buster. Now, Buster is another real Christian. I mean, this man has totally helped me in changing the entire church. It was like a bunch of slothful things going on in the church. The warehouses were in disarray. The property was in disarray, and I'm able to send him to New York, to New Jersey, to Los Angeles, to Fort Smith, and everywhere. And he gives me honest reports of what are happening because he doesn't care whether it hurts people's feelings or not. The man is not a hypocrite. Okay, so, but, and then Sion has got a very honest report here, and she thinks it's not in the spirit. I want to warn Debbie Ondrasak that if you say that in the spirit testimony is of the devil, that you're in danger of having blasphemed the Holy Spirit, okay? Because it was in the spirit. Okay, now go ahead.
He was talking about not seeing much Christian testimony as he was growing up.
That is absolutely the truth. And she just wants to say he should be a hypocrite and say that he did see good Christian testimonies out of Michelle and Angel and Jeannie and Sharon and all the other phonies. Okay, go ahead.
And that he didn't believe in God.
They caused him to not believe in God. He thought that everything is just a sham. This happened while I was away for 4 years. 4.5 years, a half a year in the halfway house. Then what?
Quite a few other things were said which sounded bad.
Oh, she thought it sounded bad. I'll let you be the judge. Being truthful is bad. Okay, to her. Then what?
Like saying most of his friends took off except two of them.
That's true. They took off or had to be put out of the church. And two of her sons took off too. But she doesn't talk about that. They were terrible testimonies. And they're attacking the church at this very moment. And I didn't even know these jokers. Then what else?
He said he was jacked before he was saved.
You know, that's true. And the ones that jacked him were these people in the office. And the people's sons in the church that didn't chasten them and bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Okay, then what?
The tape of services is coming over with Sally.
Yeah, I was very glad that they did. And you, Michelle, who helped her so, you typed it up, right?
Yes, transcribed it.
You transcribed it. Isn't typing or writing it out transcribing?
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't have to tell me, okay?
Sir.
Are you trying to get even at me for exposing you?
No, sir.
Okay, then what is this? Okay, go ahead and keep reading.
Science testimony.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful to be part of this gathering.
Okay, so he's very thankful to be of the Lord or in this gathering because he's going to about ready to rebuke them. Then what?
When I was very young, I'd always get haunted by these demons, and it was like it was really messed up, man. My mind was really jacked. I thought a number of different things because I had seen different people in different churches. I didn't really believe basically what any of us believe now or anything like that.
Well, see, he's saying right there that what they believe now, because I'm out of prison now and I've been bringing a series of messages to where everybody, a lot of the people in the church are now up to speed, and some of them really are wanting to serve the Lord and they're full of desire to serve God. Okay, but he's telling the truth so far, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Michelle said yes. What about you, Angel? Do you say yes?
Yes.
She says yes. What about you, Sharon, his mother?
Yes.
Yes, he's telling the truth. There's not one lie here. Okay, then what? And there's not one bad thing here. Okay, then what?
Because I had seen a lot of people that I figured were basically phonies.
Yep, and I see them too. And she thinks that's bad to expose the phonies. But the Lord called the Pharisees and the Sadducees phonies, and he stated that one of you 12 is a devil. And that's what my boy is telling. He saw a lot of phonies, and I see him too. So there's nothing bad about that. And here, Mrs. Andersack, and according to her, Sally Demelin, and then I heard Michelle say she thought it was bad too. Okay, go ahead.
I never really saw anybody that I thought were real.
Right, and that's a lot. Buster says the same thing. Buster White, who is really doing a tremendous job of serving the Lord, says the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Then what?
I would always have, like, these messed up thoughts in my head about different people, and that always led me to look down upon just about everybody. I never read the Bible either.
No, because they didn't make him read the Bible. They let him watch television and all these different things while I was gone, and let him play video games and things like that. These things happen in churches when there's a lot of phonies. Okay? And what?
I never saw any proof about anything that was in there. And I thought that if I didn't see any proof, that I couldn't believe anything that I couldn't see was really true.
Well, that's the way I was, too. Okay, then what else? So far, it's very truthful. Then what?
Later on, it was the time I ended up going to L.A. I saw different people out there. At first, I thought everybody was crazy, but after a while, I realized that they were real.
That they're really saved, because what they do in Los Angeles, the new baby Christians that come in, they are in the prayer room and they're praying, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I can hear them from the brother's dorm crying out like that on their prayer hours all night long. And I live about a half a block from them. And you can hear them. They're really on fire, especially at first. And then what?
so it kind of convicted me pretty bad, and I just started reading the Bible.
Yeah, because he never saw that his whole life around the office while I was in prison. And then when I got out of prison, I was too buried deep into all these different reports, and it was horrible to try to get these people to take care of them. It was horrible. Then what?
I just started reading the Bible when I woke up and right before I went to sleep, and that was a start.
After he went to Los Angeles, which was not that long ago, then what?
God just used that to cut real deep into everything I was thinking. Just about all my friends basically believed the same thing I did, and just about all of them are gone except for two.
Right, because there's so much hypocrisy. The parents never read with the children. And the Lord states that it's our job to teach our children, that they might teach their children's children, and that their children's children will teach their children the word of God. But they don't. They let them, they never command them or tell them that they must be on the altar at all times, and that they should, they must be consecrated. That means sold out to the Lord. They let them stay in the world, worldliness. They teach them worldliness. They talk worldliness around them. All these things. Then what else?
They all took off. They didn't find the truth.
They didn't find the truth, even in this church. But now, a lot of them have been doing a series. The Lord told me to do a series of tapes, and ever since the very day that I started doing that, the Lord blessed us thousands of times more than we ever have been before, because I thought that the people in the church, the people that had been around the church for years, were teaching the baby Christians and their kids. And I said, Lord, they're not doing it. He says, you do it. I said, Lord, you've got me writing literature, and then how am I going to do an hour program or whatever? He says, you do it. And so I started doing it, and the church, we started being able, because finances came. There were so many repairs that needed done in the church. They were living in a swamp with poison oak and poison ivy surrounded with them, and they had goats, and the place stunk, and there was nothing here. And enough finances came in for me to repair everything and put up sorely needed buildings. After I started breaking the scriptures down to the people in the church and in the world. Our radio bill comes into tens of thousands of dollars every month. And the Lord likes it, loves it, because it's the word of God is getting out as it is not being gotten out in most of the world today. Then what else?
That's where I was about to be headed to. I just figured at least the stuff out there I could see, I could believe, I could understand what was going on. But later on, I just decided to make my stand here, because I had seen different things when I was in L.A. My bunkie would get attacked by demons, and I said, man, this is crazy. And I was like, man, it's all real, because if there's a demon, there's got to be an angel. If there's an angel, there's got to be a creator. And it's God, and he heard everything I was thinking before. And I'm like, man, I hope there is still a chance here. Then I was like, man, I don't know if there's a chance left, because I was like right in the middle of everything, and I didn't believe any of it.
See, and the people in the church didn't read my literature to the children, and that's why they left. Because there's no fiber of God in. They were not trained up in the way they should go. And in the end, they would not fall away from the Lord. No one read my literature to him. He never heard my testimony. Nothing. And either were the people in the church, the children in the church, hearing my literature that I'd written. The Lord told me to write all the supernatural experiences I had, and I did. I've written hundreds of pieces of literature, and possibly I've done thousands of tapes, and they did play the tapes to them, and they never read the literature to them, and they never read the Bible to them. So what did the people in the church suspect? And they call themselves Christians. They're not obeying any of the Lord's commandments. They let their children fall away from the Lord. And some of the women in the church would walk around in front of their children, very scantily dressed. And so, you know, they'd let them see things and be involved in things that were not good. And they thought that when I started throwing them out because they had different pictures that were not that were lewd, and I put them out of the church, they just thought that that was awful of me, that I should be like other churches. But I'm not. Okay, then what? So I feel that everything that he's saying here is wonderful. Huh? Okay, but then none of these people took it into consideration, and they're probably going to hate me for leveling them like I am. They're trying to level a boy that's telling the truth, my son, and I'm telling him that this man is preaching the truth. And they said, well, we think it was bad that he should say things like that because he lived around me. He never lived around me. How old was I? Was he when I went to the prison for the gospel?
Two.
He was two. Well, he didn't even, you know, he wasn't conscious. I thought it was around one and a half, something like that. But it was two, my wife says. Okay, so, and then I was away 4 years, so that made he was six. And then a half a year and a halfway, 6.5 years old. He's already never heard my literature, never heard my tapes, never was read the Bible. He was around a bunch of phonies, hypocrites. And I told them to do that, okay? Now what? I was locked up. I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. Okay, then what?
I just said, well, you know, strengthen the things that remain, or whatever. So I just started doing the best I could, reading whenever I had the chance, really paying attention to the messages.
And the messages that I was bringing that he never heard before, but he was hearing now, is what he's saying. And I suppose that's bad. Isn't he telling the truth?
Yes.
How can you say it so softly? Why don't you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. And what's that? You think this is still bad?
No.
Well, good. It's too bad you don't have enough discernment. You were living right through this whole scene. Okay, then what?
Like one of the other brothers that I was fellowshipping with, we were the same age, and everything I said, he had done worse than me. I said, I never used to read. He said, I never owned a Bible.
And here, that's a young man in the church that never owned a Bible. And so you say this is a church? There's even a testimony from the newspaper. They said when I was touring them around, I took them into a home of some of the people that are now out there bringing false accusations. They said there's not even a Bible in the homes that we built for them. I could read that, I have it read out of a newspaper article that Yvonne found today. An old newspaper article goes back around 24 years ago. The people in this church have not followed the Lord's commandments, and the Lord's going to destroy them for it. There's no way that they can get out of this for letting everything slide for all these years, 24 years of doing nothing for the Lord. And yet some of them will argue with me, even when I show them where they're wrong. And it's just, I'm hit more from some of the people that the devil sent in here than I am from the people out in the world. And I've been hit hard from the people out in the world. Then what does he say?
I said, okay, it was messed up where I was going. And then finally, through different events and the people I saw in L.A., it just, like I said, it really convicted me.
Yeah, the people were on fire when they got saved, and they were reading the Bible, and they were taking their prayer hours there. And they were reading the Bible and have reading classes like Susie and I always taught them. And they'd go out on the streets and witness and testify. And the people of the churches think that's wrong. Then what?
And so I found that it was true. And I saw different evidences of, you know, like I saw pictures of like the ark and I guess like the ruins of Gomorrah and Sodom, whatever. And I was like, this is messed up. I said, I'm crazy. One of my friends were like, no man, this is boring. This is stupid.
Now that's over in the Arkansas area. The ones the children had that have never been taught any more than he had.
And I was like, man, I don't know. It scares me. But later on, it's a good thing that some brothers, he's a real brother now, he really decided to make a stand on the right side.
Right. A lot of these children, their parents had never taught them anything. Now they're reading the Bible because they're hearing the tapes. So the Lord was so wise to have me be the older Christian. I said, there's no older Christians in this church, Lord. And he says, you be the older Christian. You know my word. You know it correctly, and you start bringing these messages to them. I said, how? He says, do it right on tape and just make them hear it, because they're all falling away. The whole church is like shipwrecked. Okay, and then what? Now I've been doing this for how many years? 2 or 3 years now? About 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 3 years, it's starting to straighten out now. Then what?
I'm thankful that us three, we decided to stay, even though most of the other ones that were my friends, they all took off. But I'm just glad that us three decided to make a stand.
Well, some of them were thrown out because they were bringing, some of them, their parents divorced, and they were sending in, without my knowledge, because people in this church never reported evil to me. They don't report the devil. What happened is they were sending in real bad literature, stuff that is like witchcraft and things like that. And so I put them out of the church. They didn't take off. I threw them out because they hid it. And they, so therefore they knew that it was wrong. Otherwise they wouldn't have to hide it, right?
Right.
Everything has to be screened. Every literature, a piece of literature has to be screened by myself before I let them read. If it's good literature, it's theirs. I mean, I want them to have it. Then what?
God is watching me. He knew what I was doing, and he knew what I was going to do, that I was going to make my decision. And he just kept his hand over me long enough to make my decision. I'm just thankful he
He's talking about the right decision. Okay, then what?
I'm just thankful he kept me this long, and I'm looking forward to the future. Praise God.
Okay, now, how could anyone could think that that was a bad testimony? That's one of the best testimonies I've ever heard in this church, because it's so truthful. It is truthful. And they thought, well, it would be a bad reflection on me if anyone heard him say those things. I don't consider any bad testimony. What he should have said, though, is that my dad was away in prison for 4 years, and he was telling them to do the right thing, but they didn't do it. And then when he got out, he was buried by all this stuff. Now, a lot of people think that because you're a world pastor and that you're really into the Lord, and really the Lord is into you, that the kids are going to be all right. They can't be all right unless you let them hear the gospel too. All right? Now, Eli was killed by the Lord. He allowed him. He was a fat man, and he fell off of this throne of his and broke his neck. And it killed him. And Aaron had to die also. And Aaron's children and Eli's children had to die. Here they had very supposedly strong men of the Lord that were in charge of them. But I just thank the Lord that he told me to start being the older Christian to everybody in the church. And as far as Buster's concerned, he helps me out because he goes into all the different areas and sees where they're slacking off, where there's filth, where it would be a bad testimony to everyone in the church, and he doesn't hate anybody at all. He just reports what he sees and then lets me make the decision on it. And all I do is just let the Lord make the decision on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it is. Mun, yeah, that's what it is. Okay, now go ahead and read. Where's the first letter from?
Omaha, Nebraska.
Well, first, Father, anoint the service. I know you already have. I was very tired this evening, and when I heard them knocking this fantastic testimony of science, this fantastically true testimony, the Lord says, do that this evening. Do it. And I says, all right, praise the Lord. And I thank and praise the Lord for having a son that tells the truth. And I see that people hate him, and so I know he's of the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. Now then what? Lord, save souls, strengthen the church, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead.
Omaha, the first letter is from Omaha, Nebraska. Hello, Tony Alamo and friends. I'm writing you this in regards to your mass suicide article. I loved it. I would love to
see the people in the church, even out in the world, if they hear these messages, they get saved. You can hear them where they say 100 church people got saved, 990 some people got saved, 1,000 people got saved, the whole town got saved, and thousands of people, and so on. So I know that what I'm doing is even pulling some of these dead dogs. But some of them are still, really concerned about truthful messages. Boy, you step out of the closet like that, and I know just who you are, all right? I just despise people that hate truth. Okay, then what?
I would love to have many more copies of this to distribute all over the Omaha area. I'm a servant of the Most High God and will do anything to get his message out.
See, that's what happens to a real person that's of the Lord. Now, these two people that moved in tonight, they said, now we want to go see Grandma. They didn't say, oh, man, I found salvation. I found the truth. I want to tell everybody else. I want to tell Grandma. And say, well, get grounded in the Word first and then tell Grandma, okay? But you have all this zeal, but you don't have any knowledge to tell Grandma, and she's liable to come against you very strong and convince you to fall away from the Lord. So what I always tell people is get the Word of God in you first, get the Spirit of the Lord in you first, and then you can go tell others. But if there's no desire to tell others, there's no zeal in people that are of the devil. As a matter of fact, it's a gruesome thing for them to hear the Word of God. It's a boring thing. It's like that young man was telling my boy, it's boring because they weren't getting it out. They weren't making the children hear the messages. And they weren't ministering to the people. There were like thousands, big stacks of these requests, and they didn't even pay any attention. Some of them were on the floor. It was horrible. I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes that people were that wicked. Okay, and my boy was raised around them. No wonder he was so confused. Okay, then what?
Romans 8:28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to whom are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate.
Yeah, all things are possible. In other words, they could have went through all these requests. They could have read the Bible to my boy. They could have read the tracts to them. They could have let them hear the tapes, but they didn't. It just makes me so angry that they let so many hundreds of thousands of people fall away. And they're going to be judged at the judgment bar of God for every filthy thing that they've done like this, because they had the truth and they hid it in their earthly body. In other words, the earth. And there's nothing for them because they showed no mercy. And if you sow mercy, you'll receive it at the judgment, the great white throne. But if you haven't, you're not going to get any, and you're not going to change the Bible. And then even after somebody, my son, gets up there and starts, he found out, because I took him to Los Angeles and let him be in the church. I let him live there and with us, and he was around the brothers out there, the new baby Christians, and he saw what it was really like to be saved. He saw there was no phonies around him there. Okay, then what?
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Are people that leave people, they think that the people are bad testimonies when they're telling the truth? Are they conformed to the image of Christ?
No.
No, they're not. Christ levels people. he comes right out and says that homosexuality and lesbianism and fornication and all these things are of the devil, and he barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah to prove that he really meant what he said. He means what he says. And people that don't teach people or get these the literature and the tapes to people and make them read it and make them read the Bible and teach them the way they should go, those people are not of the Lord. They're wicked and they're evil, and it's no wonder that their wives have got blood clots. They said if a blood clot came into Melissa's lungs, she'd be dead. They had to do all sorts of things. And she was in a hospital in Fort Smith, and I told them to get her out of there. Those doctors, the ones that I know there, are quacks. They gave Susie a double dose of chemotherapy, and it killed her. And there were so many of them. One man, I had a hernia, and I was going to get it operated on, and he came in drunk. And so I said, no thanks. So I just let it go for several years, and then I waited till I got to Los Angeles and had it done there. Okay, and then what else here with this?
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Please send as many copies of Mass Suicide as you think I need. 100 or 10,000. I will pass them all out. May the Most High God bless all of his sheep in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ken, okay. From Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, so that's Omaha, Nebraska. All right, and then a couple of shorties.
From Brickies, Arkansas. Dear Brother Tony Alamo, greetings in the precious name of Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior, the only begotten Son. I listen to you on WMGM 1600 AM. I am originally from Morrilton, Arkansas, and am an excommunicated missionary Baptist preacher who is at current in prison and am seeking the truth. I am also an autograph collector of fellow Christian radio ministers. I know deep within my own heart and mind that you will never see this letter or honor my request because you are too big and valuable to give me what I ask for. However,
well, I want to just remain little and just do the things, be the older Christian to Christians and be a soul winner and bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. All right, then what?
However, would you in Jesus' holy name be so kind to personally and authentically autograph a Tony Alamo Worldwide Ministry logo letterhead for my very large and ever-growing collection?
Well, you know, flattery will get you nowhere, but I'll send it to you. Okay, so somebody pull one out and I'll sign it for him. Okay, and then what else? But the main thing is I want to send him some literature. Then what else?
Before I forget, my parents and I used to eat at your restaurant, the Alamo, there in Elma. It was great, with very warm-hearted Christian
workers
as well.
That's Elma, Arkansas, in case you people in Europe don't know where Elma is, or in New York, or other places in the world. That was Elma, Arkansas, on Highway 71, just off I-40. Okay, so read, and then what else?
Would you also send any and all available information you can, and Bible studies, if possible? Thank you, David, from Brickies, Arkansas.
Okay, and then we have a stack of other testimonies here, but they're pretty long, so I want to get into some Bible reading here, and the finish of a piece of literature that I wrote here just the other night. Okay, so let's continue on with that. We're out of time, but go ahead and read a couple lines anyway.
We begin to abide in Christ in a practical way. We fellowship with Christ. We enjoy Jesus and experience Jesus.
Right. So we have to experience the Lord. I mean, there's nobody. And if it's the Lord is abiding in you, then he's teaching people through you. You're not sitting out. You're not watching television or playing video games. You're not... you know, a lot of times the Lord will have me turn the TV on for the news and other items, but I don't, while I'm doing that, I'm praying to the Lord. I know the people that have been doing that for years have not been praying to the Lord, and they never did a work for the Lord at all. And so go ahead.
We call this the second part, or the stage of abiding in Jesus.
Now you can see what destruction has happened in this church. This is, you know, the hardest hitting that I know of in the whole world. We're the hardest hitting. And the ones that really ruthlessly tear people. people away from Satan and bring them into the fold of the Lord. And that happens because I abide in the Lord, and the Lord abides in me, and it's the Lord that's doing these things, not me. And you can have the Lord abiding in you if you just say this prayer to the Lord. Just say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that you, God, raised Jesus from the dead. You, Jesus, took yourself up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Open the doors of my heart and ask you to come in. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." So just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And now, Sharon, this is program 177. If you'd like to have a copy of it, mention tape or CD, and here's the four ways you can receive it. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, there were a lot of other people that have been in this church and are still here that I could pinpoint and splatter, like the Lord told of his people, some of them that had done evil. He doesn't hold anything back. He exposes them. But I just don't have time tonight. So make sure you tune in tomorrow for program number 178, and it'll be part 76 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.